أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا وأنا ظننا أن لن تقول الإنس والجن على الله كذبا وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا وأنهم ظنوا كما ظننتم أن لن يبعث الله أحدا صدق الله العظيم This surah is called Suratul Jinn. And the reason is because in this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have talked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the jinns and he informed the ummah of some jinns listening to the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then that recitation leading them to embrace Islam. The background of the surah is, as Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah have narrated on the authority of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu, that before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the Prophet of Allah, jinns were allowed to go up towards the heaven. And they used to listen to angels talking to each other. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu says, فَيَسْتَمِعُونَ الْكَلِمَةِ فَيَزِيدُونَ فِيهَا عَشْرًا They would hear one word from the angels and then they would come back and there were some fortune tellers. So these jinns were connected to those fortune tellers. So they would come and tell the fortune tellers that we heard the angel talking about this. Which simply means, for example, we heard them saying it will rain tomorrow. So now the fortune teller will have a couple of hundred people visiting him every day. Everyone wants to know his future. Just like nowadays, everyone is worried to know his future. People would go to show their hands to those people, look at my hand and tell me what my future is. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran tells us what is our future. Our future, it's really in our hands, but it's not on our hands. It's in our hands. We control it. If we do the good deeds, we have a good future. If we don't do the good deeds, then irrespective of what these people have to say about us, we don't have a good future. The real future is not having $1 million tomorrow. The question is, what's after that? What will happen the day after tomorrow? And basically, that's the most important question that we need to answer in our life. What's after that? Say, I got everything. What's after that? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He talks about Jannah and about the blessings of Jannah, He uses the word خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. That's an eternal life. If you ask what's after that there are more and more blessings, never ending blessings, endless blessings. So that simply means that's the real blessing that is endless. Otherwise, in this life, as soon as the question comes, what's after that, will end up over there at that point. I don't know what's after that. A person sitting under a tree, young boy, with a big cigar in his hand. So a person passing by says to him, "Son, why are you wasting your time?" He said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "Go and work." He says, "Work, yeah? What's after that?" He said, "You'll make a lot of money." He said, "That's good. But what's after that?" He said, "Then you will have your own business. You'll have a lot of people working for you. And then you will be just sitting and resting." He said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" "This is what I'm doing right now, sitting and resting. You're telling me to go through all of that and then sit and rest?" So the question always remains, what's after that? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word khalidina fiha abada. That once we get that blessing, once we get the Jannah, that's never ending. And it will be eternal, it will never end, always the blessings will be increasing, they will never be decreasing. That's the answer that we need. In fact, if you look at the tafaseer, the explanations of Quran al-Kareem, whenever the word qad aflaha, aflaha means, when we translate it, means success. Successful are those, and then Quran will explain who are the successful people. So the word falah in Arabic language means having a type of blessing that will never end. In other words, metaphorically we might be able to use that word in our day-to-day language, but there is nothing that is falah in this life, because there is nothing in this world that you can say it will always be increasing, you will never lose it. Everything goes in this life, either that thing will end or we will end. One of us will have to come to an end. And finally we lose it. So, I was saying, there were fortune tellers. And people will go to fortune tellers and try to find out about their future. What's my future? Now the fortune teller, he have heard one thing from that jinn, because he has a connection with the jinn. He has a friendship with that jinn. So he have heard one thing from him. For example, it will rain tomorrow. So now a person comes to him, he says, "I don't have children. Can you tell me if I will have children in future?" He says, "Yes, you will have 7 children in your future. And the sign of that, it will rain tomorrow." So now the person next day sees it raining. Oh, okay. See what he said? It was exactly right. If it rained today, that simply means in future I will have 7 children. "Can you tell me about my future regarding my wealth, my financial situation?" He says, "Yes. Before you die, you will be having millions of dollars. And the sign of that is, it will rain tomorrow." So everything now will be connected to, it will rain tomorrow. So one thing is right, that it will rain tomorrow. But he will attach another 100 lies with that, and will keep on telling everyone the same thing. People listening, hearing that, and seeing that it rained the next day, every person will think, what he told me about the rest of the things also about the future, they are all correct. So they had a good business. And you can imagine, they can really have a real good business. Even nowadays, people do different type of tricks and magics to trick people. Of course, we have to at least remind ourselves of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, "I have nothing to do with a person," which means that person has no relationship with me. He broke all the ties and relationship with me if a person will go to a fortune teller. So we are not allowed to go to these fortune tellers. No one knows. If he knows his own future, he won't be sitting over there, because his future is leading him to hellfire. Sitting at that position is leading him to hellfire. If he knows his own future, he won't be sitting there. And you might even find some people who go and cheat these people. He asked him about the future, then he doesn't want to pay him the full amount. If this person knew the future, even if he just knew what will happen the next moment, he won't tell him this person about his future. He will ask him to pay him first. So, no one knows about these things. But as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, jinns, listening to that angel's talking, and then coming back and informing these future tellers about some of the things that they have heard, and these people will keep on attaching every lie with that truth that they have heard from the angels. All of a sudden, jinns realized, as they are trying to go up towards the heaven, there are some stars shooting at them. Many of those jinns died, some of them got injured. So of course, that was hurting them badly. And they thought something, they realized something new have happened. So, now these people, all the jinns went to the leader. Who is the leader? Iblis. Shaitan is the leader of all the jinns. They all went to him. And they explained the situation to him. So he said, something unique has happened in the world. Let's find out what is that. So he divided all the jinns and shayateen into small groups that travel throughout the world, each person. In other words, you can say that now shaitan is sitting with a map of the whole world and sending some jinns to every location and every part of the world. Go and find out what is this something new that is taking place in the world, because of which we have been stopped from going up towards the heaven. So now, they started going all around, traveling all around to find out. There were some jinns who went towards the side of Makkah Mukarramah. When they were passing by there, when they were passing by that place, it was the last part of the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Quran al-Kareem in Salat al-Tahajjud. And as he was reciting Quran, these jinns heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they realized that this is the thing. This is what we all are looking for. This is the thing because of which we have been stopped from going up to the heaven. These jinns were kuffar, were kafirs, they were mushriks. But when they heard the recitation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it affected them so much that right there and then they accepted Islam. And then they went back, not only to inform the people that we found this unique thing that have happened, that stopped us from going up to the heaven, they even went with the message of Islam to invite people with the da'wah, inviting people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have heard a very wonderful recitation, guiding people to this right path. Jinns came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at many different occasions. Allama Alusi rahimahullah, who wrote a beautiful tafsir of Quran al-Kareem called Ruh al-Ma'ani. He says in that tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani that collecting all the ahadith, it looks like the jinns came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at 6 different occasions. Sometimes, when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked to them, he sat with them, and he conveyed the message of Islam to them. At other occasions, when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not even know that they came. They just heard him reciting, and they left. According to Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, tafsir Ibn Kathir, he says that the first occasion when the jinns came to hear the recitation, that was the time when shaitan sent them out, looking for this unique thing that have happened in the world, that stopped them from going up to the heaven. That was the time when they heard the recitation, but they did not talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They just quietly heard it, and then they went back to convey the message of Islam. But the second time, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if, and the people of Ta'if refused to accept the message of Islam. In fact, they had appointed some of their youth to keep on stoning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he would leave Ta'if. They stoned him so much that his whole body was soaked in blood. And finally, because of excessive bleeding, he fainted and fell down. When he got his senses back, he became conscious. At that time, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him, along with another angel, introduced that angel to him that, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent this angel to you. This angel never came to the world before this time. This is the first time he ever came to the world, and he came specifically for you. He is the angel whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have assigned the responsibility of taking care of all the mountains. He doesn't have to come down to fulfill that responsibility. He fulfills it from there. He came today to ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he just asked him to talk to that angel directly. That angel said, Ya Rasulullah, if you want, I can crush the people of Taif between the two mountains, because Taif is between mountains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send me to destroy people and to curse people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me for the guidance of the people. I would do my best to teach these people Islam. And these people, whatever they have done, they did it because they don't know Islam. They don't know what I'm inviting them to. If they would know it, they will accept it. Who knows? If they won't, some of their future generations will accept Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he got up. He washed himself. And then I was thinking, there is another part of this story also that is very interesting. But I thought I'll just skip it because I just want to stay to this point here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now as he got up to perform the salah, and he was reciting this these surahs in his salah, that was the time when another group of angels were passing by, and they heard the recitation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at different occasions, jinns and shayateen, they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Quran al-Kareem. At other occasions, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn Islam. Some of them were Muslims already, because they became Muslims before this. In the first situation when they heard it, then they went and invited other people. So there were many of them who became Muslims. So now they wanted to learn more about Islam. So there were some occasions when they came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to spend some time with them and teach them Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. In some occasions, he spent the whole night from Isha till Salatul Fajr teaching them about Islam. There is a hadith narrated in Tafsir al-Qurtubi. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Isha, he asked us, who wants to join me? I'm going to teach the jinns about Islam, because they approached me that they want to learn about Islam and they have some questions about Islam. So I will be going tonight to gyms teaching them about Islam. Who would like to join me? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, I would join you. It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's habit that whenever he would walk out of his home, normally he will keep one person with him. Not necessarily for protection. In the beginning of Islam, he used to keep someone with him for protection, as a guard. But when the ayah of Quran al-Kareem was revealed, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, Allah will protect you against your enemies, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the hearer, the knower. Since then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't need anyone to be with me, to guard me. But he normally used to keep someone with him to serve him. He needs, a person can need anything in his way. So, when there is more than one person, and especially there is a relationship of a teacher and a student, of a prophet and follower, then of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would need something on his way, that thing will be fulfilled, because the needs of a prophet of Allah need to be fulfilled at all the time. And not only he was doing it for himself, he did it for the ummah. I don't mean to tell you he did it so that you people start coming and serving me now. The reason I'm saying he did it for the ummah, to tell ourselves and remind us of another very important point. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at any time he is by himself, any of his needs are not fulfilled, who is responsible for it? The ummah is responsible for it. That the Prophet of Allah was needing something, that thing was available and you did not give it to him, you were not with him to help him at that time, Allah will question them so that they won't be questioned. He will ask someone to be with him. This is another part and a sign of his rahmah, of his mercy. Just like we know, normally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not approach a person who's sleeping and try to wake him up, because a person who's sleeping doesn't know what he's doing, might just wake up and say something, blow out something that is not supposed to be said, and he would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unknowingly, and then will face the consequences of that. Although he doesn't know he was a prophet of Allah, but at least he said it to the prophet of Allah. It's the same reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would normally keep a person with him. So he said, who would join me? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I would, ya Rasulullah. And he went with him. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, at one point Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped. He made a circle and he asked me to sit inside that circle and said, don't leave the circle. Don't leave the circle. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left and he disappeared. Now, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is sitting in that circle throughout the night. What did he go through? We'll talk about it in a few moments as he was, when he was asked by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he explained all of what he went through at the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on teaching those people about Islam. Just before Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. He was tired. So he decided to lay down for some time. So he put his head in the laps of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and went to sleep. In a short time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up. He asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu if he had any water. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have some nabiz. Nabiz means they used to put the dates inside the water. But remember, if that date after being put in the water, now the water is not sticky. It might be a little sweet because the dates being in there, but it's not sticky. The dates did not break in there. So still, it's allowed to do the wudu with that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, then give me that water to make the wudu with. Now he asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah, tell me, what did you see? First thing he asked him, did you ever sleep? Did you sleep throughout the night? He said, no, ya Rasulullah, I couldn't go to sleep. What did you see, Abdullah? He said, Ya Rasulullah, in the beginning, I saw people, huge people, that were passing by me. Some of them would even try to approach me, but because of that circle, they couldn't get into the circle. That circle was a protection. They could not get into that circle. So many of them walked to me. When they saw me, they walked to me. They walked up to me. And they came all the way up to the circle, but they couldn't pass the circle, so this is why they left. Many of them were totally covered with hair. I couldn't see the body at all. Some of them were having beautiful, nice, white dresses on them. But I was afraid to look at these people. Then after some time, he said, I saw a large group of them. There were large groups of them that were walking towards that direction where you went, Ya Rasulullah. And then finally, I could not hear your voice. I could not hear anything. So I thought, these people might have hurt you. They might do something wrong to you. All of these thinkings were going through my mind throughout the night. So many times I thought about running back to Medina and calling all the people, let's go and look for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I would remember your words, don't leave the circle. So I said, then again that word will stop me from leaving. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you did the right thing, Abdullah. If you would have left the circle, some of them may have hurt you. So, this was another occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to teach the jinns and large group of jinns that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu told us, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to learn Islam. In another occasion, again, hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, one of the nights we missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Isha. We were looking for him. We asked if he's home. He's not in his home. He's nowhere in Medina Munawwara. So we got worried. So we all went out looking for him. In the middle of the night, we saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming back from somewhere out of Medina. We said, Ya Rasulullah, where did you go? We were worried about you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I went, a group of jinn came, they had some questions, and also they had some disagreements, and they wanted my judgment in that disagreement, so therefore I went to teach them and make the judgment amongst those people. So, as I said, jinns came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at many different occasions, and according to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, according to Alama Alusi rahimahullah in Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani, jinns came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at 6 different occasions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about some of them in Quran al-Kareem also. One is in this surah, Surah al-Jinn. And we find out when we look at these ayahs, we can tell that some of the jinns that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were disbelievers, kuffar and mushrikeen. Some of them might have been Christians. Some of them were Jews. So, jinns tried to follow different religions at all the times. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الثَّقَلَيْنِ I have been sent to human beings and jinns both. So all the jinns are supposed to follow me just as the human beings are supposed to follow me. But among jinns, there are a lot of disbelievers. More than human beings. The ratio of the Muslim jinns is very small comparing to the disbeliever jinns. In Surah Al-Jinn, the ayah says, وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا We would never associate anyone as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would never associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows that these jinns were mushriks, idol worshippers. But in Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some jinns, when they came and they heard the recitation of Quran, they went back and said, يا قومنا إنا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى.
O our people, we have heard a book that is revealed after Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام.
عطاء رحمه الله says, as Imam Qurtubi رحمه الله have narrated, that these were Jewish jinns and they believed in Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now they're informing their people that now there is another book that has been revealed after the Torah. So we must believe in that book now. Some people, and especially those who think that they have a real good understanding of their own existence, they are now modern people in a modern world, they try to reject the existence of jinns. They say nothing like that exists in the world. Remember, from the Islamic point of view, we have to remember this, that we have to believe in the existence of jinns. Not believing in the existence of jinns is kufr, because Quran talks about it, about jinns. So now Quran says and Allah says they exist, and we say they don't exist. That's kufr, of course. And inshallah, I will mention some things that Quran says about jinns and their existence, so that we know what to believe about jinns in the light of the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these jinns the power that they can come in many different, they can change their forms. They can change the form into a form of any animal, into a form of just like an air, so they are not seen. Their real existence is in such a way that even if they are with us, we cannot see them. That's their real form. We can't see them in their real form. But sometimes they come in different forms, in the form of a snake, in the form of a dog, in the form of a cat, in the form of any different animals, or in a form of a human being. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says in the hadith narrated in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, that once we were traveling, on our way we saw a lot of cloud came from nowhere. We didn't see that much cloud before, but we see all of a sudden we saw a lot of cloud, and then different noises coming from the cloud. That whole cloud really was not a cloud, those were jinns. And two groups of jinns having a battle against each other. He said, as we went further, we saw a dead snake. So one of us picked up that snake and wrapped it in a nice piece of cloth and then buried that snake somewhere on the side of the road. Nighttime, two women came and they asked us, أَيُّكُمْ دَفَنَ عَمْرَ بْنَ جَابِرٍ, who buried Amr bin Jabir? So we said, who is Amr bin Jabir? We don't know Amr bin Jabir. So they started making dua for us. May Allah bless you and bless this person who buried Amr bin Jabir. Then they said, the snake that you people buried last night, that was Amr bin Jabir. It was one of the jinns. And they said, two groups of jinns, the good jinns and the bad jinns, the Muslim jinns and disbeliever jinns, had a fight last night. They had a war. And this jinn who you buried was one of those people who was murdered during that war. And his name is Amr bin Jabir, and he's one of those people who visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he heard the recitation of Quran al-Kareem when Rasulullah, about which Quran speaks, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. At another occasion, Imam Suhaili rahimahullah have narrated that once Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi was traveling, and same thing happened. He saw that snake, but he smelled a lot of fragrance from that snake. He was having a lot of fragrance, beautiful smell. So he said, this is not usual. It must be something very special. So he picked up that snake and burned the snake on the side of the road, he heard someone saying that the person that you have buried, his name was Suraq. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz asked, then who are you? He said, me and Suraq are the last two people remaining out of those people who heard the recitation of Quran al-Kareem on that night about which Quran speaks. And now Suraq also died, so I am the only person that's left from that group. And I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying to Suraq on that night, listen to this now. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying to Suraq that night, when we heard the recitation of Quran and we talked to him, that Suraq, you would die in a desert, and one of the virtuous servants of Allah will bury you. So Umar, I give you this good news that you happen to be that person. Once Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw a snake in her home and she killed him. Nighttime she saw a dream, someone telling her that you killed a believer. She said, I never killed any person, neither a believer or disbeliever. That person said, no, you killed a believer last night. She says, who's that? That person said, the jinn that you killed. She said, he was not supposed to be in my home then. That person said, no, you were reciting Quran al-Kareem at that time. He is one of those jinns who became Muslims on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loved your recitation. So he came in the form of a snake and he was listening to your recitation. Aisha radiallahu anha said, but if he was a true believer, he was not supposed to look at the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That jinn replied, this is why he came in the form of a snake, because when we change our form, then we get all the qualities and all the reality of the form that we are in. So this is why he came in that form, and he was standing behind you so he won't look at you. When she woke up in the morning, she freed a lot of slaves in order to make up for the mistake that she did. And this is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us. The hadith in Sahih al-Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِهَذِهِ الْبُيُوتَ عَوَامِرُ. In your houses you have different things living. Different insects. Different animals. He says, you don't know who's living in your home. There are a lot of things living in your houses, underneath your house. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُم مِّنْهَا شَيْئًا فَحَرِّجُوا عَلَيْهَا ثَلَاثًا. If you see any of those would come to you, then tell them three times, if you are a jinn, leave the place. If you see a snake, scorpion, one of those things inside your home, don't just kill them right away. He says, tell them three times to leave. And if they won't leave, then you have all the right to kill them. But if he's a true jinn or a righteous jinn, then if you tell him three times, at the third time, he must leave and he has to leave. That's the instruction to them. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and he instructed all of us, this is to all of us, that if you see any hole in the ground, don't just go and urinate over there. It might be that there is some animal in there, harmful insect in there, something that's harmful in there, or it might even be a jinn in there. Then he said, many times, jinns, they live in these type of holes. And especially bad jinns, they live inside even the bathrooms. The best place to them, the dearest place to them, is in the bathroom. Because it's a place of dirt, they like the dirt, the bad ones of them. The good ones, of course, they are not like that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see a hole, don't just go and urinate over there. One of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, whose name was Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, he didn't know about this. So once as he was traveling, he had to use the bathroom. He saw a hole and he just sat over there. Once he was done, people found him dead over there. And someone was reciting a poem, and they knew that someone is from the air, they are hearing a voice. So they knew that this is jinn who was reciting a poem saying, قَتَلْنَا سَيِّدَ الْخَزْرَجِ سَعَدَ بْنَ عُبَادَ. We killed the leader of Khazraj, whose name was Sa'ad bin Ubada. We killed Sa'ad bin Ubada. رَمَيْنَاهُ بِسَهْمَيْنِ فَلَمْ نُخْطِ فُؤَادَ. We threw two arrows straight at his heart to kill him because he did this on us. They were inside the hole there. I don't mean to scare everyone here. But these are the ways of protection. At this time, I don't want to mention anything about being scared of them or having control over them. Let's just continue with a few more things from the hadith before we come to the point. As I said, one of the very important things that we need to learn and know about jinns is, what does Quran say about them? Because there are some people who try to refuse the existence of the jinns and they don't believe in the existence of jinns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem have mentioned different things about jinns that we must believe in, because these are from the ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِن مَارِجٍ مِن نَارٍ. He created the jinn from a smokeless flame of fire. So one thing that we know about jinns now is that they are created out of fire. Angels are created out of light, noor. Human beings are created out of dust. And jinns are created out of fire. It reminds me, once a person approached Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and he asked him some questions. One of the questions was, if jinns are created out of fire, and you people say that if they would disobey Allah, Allah will throw them in the hellfire, what is going to hurt them? How is it going to hurt them? Fire being put into the fire. So it's not going to hurt them. They are already made out of fire. Let me just tell you the other two questions also he asked, so at least we go through the whole thing. Another question he asked was, I don't see Allah, so how can I believe in Allah? I don't believe in Allah because I don't see Him. And the third thing he said, you people say Allah does what He will, and we do what Allah wants us to do. But He says, no, I do what I want to do. It's not what Allah wants me to do. I do what I want to do. It says that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah picked up a brick and hit it at his head. The person started bleeding. He went and complained. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was taken to the court, in those days it wasn't like, first thing you will arrest the person, keep him in prison for months, and now we are trying to investigate, and at the end find out that he did not do nothing wrong. Okay, now we'll let you go. Right away you'll go to the judge. In those days, you would go to the judge right away. And the judge will call the person and ask him, why did you do this? So, when he was presented to the judge, he said, I just answered his questions. He said he doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he cannot see Him. He says, the fire is not going to hurt the jinn because they are created out of fire. And he also says that, what was the third one? I do what I want. So he said, he's saying he got hurt. I just threw a brick at him. He asked the man, what are you created out of? Dust. He said, what the brick is made out of? same dust. You're created out of dust. The brick is created out of dust. And you're telling me that you were hurt by the brick. I just threw some of your own part on you. It was part of your own body. How come you're hurt now? So he got the answer to the first question. Yes. When the form is changed and they're put in that form, now even if the jinn are put into the hellfire, they will be burned. You told me you don't believe in Allah because you don't see Him, you want to see Him. Why are you crying? Why are you shouting for? I have a lot of pain in my head. I don't see your pain. I'm sorry. I don't believe in it. I don't believe that you have a pain. Show me your pain. If you believe in only what you see, then you have to show me your pain in order for me to believe in your pain. Why didn't you pick up the brick and throw it back at me? He says, yeah, I know all of your students were sitting over there. They would kill me. So you wanted to hit me back. Allah didn't want you to hit me back. So did you do what you wanted or you did what Allah wanted? You wanted to hit me back. Allah did not want you to hit me back. That's why you are afraid of my students and you could not do nothing to me. So, first thing we learn from the ayah of Quran al-Kareem, from this ayah, that jinns are created out of fire. There is another ayah in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 26 and 7, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. We created the human being from sounding clay of altered black smooth mud. It was a smooth mud that we created the human being with. Then he says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And before that, we had created the jinn from smokeless flame of fire. So this ayah tells us two things now. One is the same point that we learned in the first ayah, that jinns are created out of fire. The second point that we learned from this ayah is, they were created before the human beings. That jinns were created before human beings. And then we learn also in Quran al-Kareem about Shaitan, that Shaitan was originally a jinn. He was one of the jinns. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was one of the jinn and he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our third belief about these jinns, that shaitan and shayateen, that we know that we say shaitan and a lot of shayateen, they are all of the jinns, same group. It's only that shaitan, Iblis, has been given that privilege that he will live till the day of judgment. Not all the jinns will have that. They die. Although they have a longer life than human beings, but yet they live their normal age and they die after that, but shaitan will live till the day of judgment. After knowing that shaitan is one of the jinns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. He talks about shaitan, that don't let shaitan mislead you, just like he took your parents, which means Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam out of Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning some more things about the shaitan, he says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Indeed, him and all of his group, they see you from a point that you cannot see them. This ayah tells us about another belief regarding jinn, that they see us, we don't see them. Except when they change their form, they come in a different form, then we see them in that form. But in their original form, we cannot see them. But still, they can see us. Another thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about shaitan, about the jinns and shayateen, the evil jinns that are shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they go up, they used to go up to the heaven. And now if they go up to try to listen to the talk of the angels, a shooting star and a flame of a fire will be following them. And if they would get too close to the heaven, that flame of fire is going to be hurting these people. They will be hit and shoot by those stars and by those flames. Also, we learn from Quran al-Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these jinns a special power that human beings don't have. They have more power than human beings. Just like we learn in Surah Al-Saba, when they were working for Sayyidina Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الْجِنِّ مَنْ يَغُوصُونَ لَهُ. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam used to send the jinns into the oceans all the way down to go and get the pearls out of it. And وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. They were doing a lot of other work also. The whole Baytul Maqdis is built by jinns, because Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam made them do it. And they used to do a lot of other work also, hard work. Most of the hard work Sayyidina Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam used to make the jinns do it, because they are stronger than human beings. Another belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran about jinns is, some people thought about jinns that they have the knowledge of unseen, ilm al-ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects that belief. And he says, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ. Talking about Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, very interesting. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam had the power over the jinns. So they used to work for him. But of course, they did not want to work. They wanted to be free. When he died, he used to perform long salah. The way he used to perform salah was, he would get his stick, lean against it, and now he will be just standing there. Long salah will take days, and he's standing there doing the salah. So when he died, he was in his salah and he died. So now he's just standing there and the jinns are working. They don't know that he's dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهُ. The only thing that informed them that he died was the, what do you call it? Worm. That was the name of the worm. The termite. The termite eating up his stick. When they ate up the stick, he fell down. So everyone knew, oh, he's dead long time back. That termite had all the time. That termite came into the stick. I mean, it has to be a long standing, because he would normally stand for days, and nothing will do. Nothing will happen of this kind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا خَرَّ. When he fell down, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنْ أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينِ. Jinn at that time knew, and they had to admit that if they knew, if they had information of unseen things, they would not be working all of the time for Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam even after his death. But with this, we must also remember, when we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with extra strength, doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them any power over us, that go and do whatever you want with the human beings. Imagine a person with that type of power, and we cannot even see him. He can just anytime grab our ear, keep on walking with me. And you don't even see the person. Comes to you, slaps you, and runs away. What can you do? Allah did not give them all of that power to keep on doing all of these things. They're afraid. They're afraid of human beings. And some people are afraid to say these type of things also. They're afraid, if I would say something, who knows, night time he'll come and slap me. But this is a reality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them all of this power, which means the power to rule the human beings the way they want. There are so many animals. Go to the zoo. You find animals much stronger than all of us together. I mean, if that animal is out, just seeing that the gate is open, we will be dead. But in spite of all of that strength and power that Allah gave those animals, still they are under our control. They are in our cages. We are not in their cages. Nowadays, people are more interested in animals than human beings. See how much you pay to go and see the animals there? If there is a ticket to come and perform salah, would you ever do it? Of course, we like different type of things. So that was just a joke. So I was saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of all of that strength and power that He gave those jinns, He did not give them the power to come and rule us the way they want. And especially Shaitan, he's afraid. One of the scholars of Islam, he says that I was thinking for a long time that why these Muslim jinns, they don't just go and destroy all of these enemies of Islam. So he said, one day I met a jinn. I asked him this question. I said, why don't you people just go and fight on behalf of Islam? And no one can see you. You can go and do whatever you want. He said, no, we can't do that. He said, because there are good and bad amongst us also, and we have an understanding that good Muslim jinns are not going to go and hurt the non-Muslim, the disbelievers. And disbeliever jinns will not just come and try to attack Muslims, because otherwise then we will have a war amongst ourselves. Then they will have their own war. That why did you hurt that believer? Because he's a Muslim, so I'm a Muslim too. Now there will be a big war over there. And he says, the worst thing will happen in the world is having a war amongst ourselves, among the jinns. So this is why we don't want nothing like that to happen. So we don't get involved. So, they have limited power. They have their limitations also. And when it comes to Shaitan, there is a beautiful hadith. Sometime we really get disturbed, and sometime get disturbed badly with all the whispering of Shaitan that keeps on coming to us. One day a Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He complained, Ya Rasulullah, I'm tired of this whispering of Shaitan. How can I get rid of it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very calmly and quietly, sitting over there, he smiles to that person. You don't have to get rid of it. Something that we normally all go through it. We should know this also. He says, you don't have to get rid of it. I tell you a dua to recite. What is the dua? He said, see, whenever you get that whispering of Shaitan, say, Alhamdulillah alladhi radda amrahu ila alwaswasa. Glory to Allah, thanks to Allah, who did not give him any power more than just whispering to me, this is all he can do to me, he can do nothing else. So he said, once you do that, Shaitan will whisper to you, and you say, Alhamdulillah, you can do nothing more than that. So he will stop whispering to you, that every time he whispers, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he doesn't want to whisper anymore. But if you try to fight it back, that's another thought that you're adding to that war. So it's only you're adding another thought to your thoughts, and that will never end it. Just say, Alhamdulillah, that he never gave him the power, more power than this. All he can do is just whisper. Allah is not going to be questioning me about his whispering, so I'm safe. So if we say that, inshallah, gradually we'll get rid of all of these whisperings of the Shaitan. So these were few things that we need to learn about the jinns. Although there is a lot of things that can be talked about jinns, but of course that's not our topic, and we don't want to be just talking about jinns and get all of that information, and some of us are scared and some of them are trying to control them. That's not the purpose. I explained all of this so at least we know what are our main aqaid, what does Quran say about jinns and what to believe about jinn, and few more things that are helpful in understanding the situation. So we talked about the background of the surah, we talked about the jinn. Now inshallah we'll talk about the surah in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the right understanding of the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to salat al-mustaqim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-muslimin wal-muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.